Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Welcome one and all to another episode here at the Damage Report. To close the week out right, I am John Iderola. That is Brett Ehrlich. Brett, how is it going?
It's going better for everyone in the audience because they went an entire week without the dynamic duo, Bert and Ernie, except the person with the tall face is the Ernie archetype and the person with the round face is the Bert archetype. But we're here just to nail it. Get you guys feeling alive again. Proud of us. How are you, John?
I'm proud of you. I'm feeling
still
good.
Coming out of both ends.
No, it's first of all, stop. And second of all, there was very limited vomiting, just to be very clear about it. So anyway.
All right, so we've narrowed down what end now. It's coming out of.
Is this how most shows on CNN start? Don Lemon, how's your stomach?
That's anyway. It. Someone please edit together. So it was it still coming out of both ends? This is CNN.
Anyway, you know why I'm excited? Not having anything to do with digestive tracts, mine or others, but because we have a lot of really fascinating and interesting news, including breaking news. News breaking just in the last 15 minutes or so. We're going to be launching into that almost immediately. And then on top of that, we're going to be having a lot of fun because the White House, they seem to have decided at last to do like the two things that we have been asking them to do and that also you would think that they would need to be asked to do, which is to do stuff and then talk about the stuff you did and like defend it. I guess that's three things, but they've been doing it and have a lot of fun with it. Joe Biden's been on a for him war path. So we're going to be talking about that and having a lot of fun. We're going to be talking about cults and book bannings and Karens and justice for Karens, or at least regarding Karens. The boy who lived and wants to live forever, and then a whole lot more, including if you're watching the full show, our garbage people of the week. I've got a first time garbage person, I think, for me at least. So excited for that. Brett, are you going to be participating in Game Busters later on tonight on the TYT network?
Yes, we're going to play a game that's basically telephone meets Pictionary.
That sounds fun.
And you guys can play along and bust the game right open. Garnet phone or something, Garrett phone, Garrote phone. We just take the cord and
phone. Garlic phone. Garlic phone. Exactly. You can break off a chunk of garlic phone tonight on Game Busters. Should be a lot of fun.
Disgusting, John.
Anyway, with all that said, if everybody who hasn't already hit the like button could be for once part of the solution rather than just dead weight, that would be great. Hit the like button and help us out. And if you want to send us any tweets, comments, super chats and all that, that would be fun too. With all that said, Brett, are you ready for some news?
Whether I am or not, you've been more than fair.
I like it. Okay, let's jump into this. The defenders of Donald Trump have been saying, we need more info, something, anything that will make what Trump did seem acceptable. So you released your justification for raiding Mar-a-Lago and we got a bunch of information about how many documents he'd stolen. So what haven't you released yet? I guess the affidavit, could you release that? Maybe that'll have something. Well, breaking news, it has been released. Still redacted in some places. Although honestly, the argument for why they say they need to continue to redact it, that in itself looks pretty damning for Donald Trump. It's all according to the DOJ, so grains of salt all around, but they have released it. And first of all, they've revealed that 14 of the 15 boxes retrieved from Mar-a-Lago earlier this year contained 184 documents with classification markings. We finally have the breakdown of how classified they are. 67 were marked as confidential, 92 were marked as secret, 25 as top secret and just one as threat level midnight. We don't know what's in that one just yet, but we're waiting to find out. So that's a lot of documents right there. And of the documents that they aren't yet willing to reveal that are redacted right now, still, they say this: the materials marked for redaction must remain sealed to protect the safety and privacy of a significant number of civilian witnesses. So not just civilian witnesses, a significant number of civilian witnesses, in addition to law enforcement personnel, as well as to protect the integrity of the ongoing investigation, to avoid disclosure of grand jury material in violation of the federal rules of criminal procedure. So there's multiple little spicy tidbits in that. They also say that disclosure of the affidavit would likely result in witnesses being quickly and broadly identified over social media and other communications channels, which could lead to them being harassed and intimidated, which is not just a possibility. That's the only reason they want that information out there on the other side. They want to be able to hound these people into not participating. But Brett, you've got a bunch of documents, you've got significant number of witnesses, you've got law enforcement personnel that need to be protected. That all makes sense. And then not only an ongoing investigation, but references to grand jury material. Go.
So this is one of the Rorschach tests based on what your pre-existing biases are. Like, it is very obvious that, and there's enough blots of ink that everyone can glom on to one or another. So the Trump team is gonna glom on to, well, who are these people? They seem to be you just basically say to me, oh, I just am looking after these there's a lot of folks that you're basing all your movements on, and we don't know who those are. Why the opacity? And they've already moved the goalpost from show me the warrant to show me the affidavit. If there's so much as like a smudged letter on the Xerox of the affidavit, they're gonna glom onto that. And it is important that everybody understands they always already are gonna do stuff like that. The same way people on the left are probably gonna say, show me the, throw them in jail already. Our job is to sit there and say, well, what is the evidence for? What is the evidence against? And still remind people that Donald Trump, no matter how many like signed secret documents he brought to Mar-a-Lago, this is still a guy who should be in jail for a bunch of other reasons. The most important and germane of which is he inspired and conspired to create an insurrection to overthrow the Democratic results of an election.
Yeah, 100%. And look, you're not only right that he should be for other things, but also I would argue if it was going to be for anything, there are many other things for which it more should be. That's grammar for you, but you get what I'm saying. Look, did he break the law? Apparently, hundreds of times, willingly. He knew it. He tried to cover it up. He tried to, interfere with the investigation. All of that is serious, and there should be consequences when you knowingly commit crimes. But these are not amongst the most serious things, at least with the information that we have right now. However, hold on to your butts, everyone, because we've got more breaking news on top of breaking news. I've been waiting to see, when is Donald Trump going to respond to the affidavit being released? And it's out now, everybody. If you've cruised over to True Central in the past couple of minutes, then you might have seen this. Here is the official response by the former president of the United States to the information being released by the DOJ about the raid in his home. It's very professional. Affidavit heavily redacted, nothing mentioned on nuclear, a total public relations subterfuge by the FBI and DOJ. Oh, he learned a new word. On our close working relationship regarding document turnover, we gave them much. Yeah, but you kept hundreds of documents that you couldn't have. It's not like you do one for the studio and then you do one for you. You gotta give them all. None of them are yours. Judge Bruce Reinhardt should never have allowed the break-in of my home. He recused himself 2 months ago from one of my cases based on his animosity and hatred of your favorite president, me.
Oh my God.
He still fit that in a response to a DOJ doc release. Me, what changed? Why hasn't he recused himself on this case? Obama must be very proud of him right now. Man, that's a throwback. Up until this point, he had been talking earlier today about political hacks and thugs. He sent out one message that just said, keep loving our country. It will come back into your hearts stronger than ever before. I don't know what that means, but he is right. There's no references to anything specifically about nuclear. I don't know how specific affidavits tend to be. And it is not impossible in the end that the leaks that I think the Washington Post might have gotten a couple of weeks ago about there being documents related to nuclear technology or preparedness or defenses or whatever might not end up being true. All of that is totally possible. That said, there's nothing that I can see as a non-lawyer in the released affidavit that implies, oh yeah, no, they had nothing. This was totally a witch hunt. This was fake. This was a hoax. This doesn't, like, they wanted it to be released so they could say, here's something that means he's not guilty. I don't see anything in that that implies that.
Right, John, but you're just not looking underneath the parts that were redacted. That is where the only redacted parts that say JK, not really. They put that, not at all. They just redacted all those moments. And I just want to clarify what I think everybody's thinking, but a lot of people are pretending is not the case. When people heard that Donald Trump kept nuclear documents, people reacted so intensely because that was hilarious and pretty much what they suspected the case would be. Not that it was absolutely ironclad and true. Like, as much as people on the right, when they say terrible, horrible things, kind of as a joke, and we point out that the basis of that joke kind of sucks. Yes, the basis of a joke saying that Donald Trump actually stole nuclear secrets, if he hadn't actually stole nuclear secrets, like that's kind of messed up. But no one really was acting on that or calling on anyone to do anything. People were just like, it is hilarious. And exactly what I would assume Trump would do is just walk off with the nuclear codes. And what's probably more likely is that he stole a bunch of stuff so he could put it in his presidential library, or he just was embarrassed by it and didn't want other people to have it. That's what makes the most sense to me. And that's backed up by his unwillingness to give that stuff back. And all that's happening now is the DOJ being like, you want more receipts? Here's the long form birth certificate of how you suck, period.
Okay. Anyway, so those are the details we have right now. There is some interesting stuff in there. I would love to hear more about at what phase in this grand jury thing are we, or is that just is that a purely speculative thing where, like, we don't know yet, but these would be materials that would be used in one. You know, stay tuned to find out about that. But geez, man, this story started in the week that I branded the best week of news in several years, and it has been the week that has kept on giving.
But for our government just to say, you know, okay, well, your debt is completely forgiven. Obviously, they have an agenda for that. They need votes in November. So the timing is a pure coincidence there as well. But it's completely unfair.
Completely unfair that students that have already labored and paid for years and years and years, this huge burden of financial student loan debt, that would be forgiven is unfair. And she won't stand for people getting their loans forgiven, except as you probably can already tell, she has had loans forgiven. Now, I'm not the one that discovered that or even publicized it. Joe Biden, the White House, and apparently a new social media manager who we're gonna talk about a little bit, decided to take it hard to Republican hypocrites who have been talking so much about how unfair this is. So you can see there the White House tweeting out, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene had $183,504 in PPP loans forgiven. And that was just the first blow, because she was not the only person who was crowing about how unfair this is and how terrible it is. So they started identifying so many of them. Now, we're gonna give you the response of Marjorie Greene in just a minute, but they pointed out Vern Buchanan had $2.3 million in PPP loans forgiven. He apparently is an incredibly wealthy member of Congress, and yet for some reason desperately needed these loans. Mark Wayne Mullen had 1.4 million, Kevin Hearn had 1 million, and all of these they're very specific, very stripped down responses to a whole bunch of nonsense and BS. And I love the fact that it's all just the fact, just the indisputable fact that you are complaining about something that you effectively benefited from and that you benefited many, many, many times over, literally hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, that you were perfectly fine to have forgiven for you. But now that a student is getting it forgiven, suddenly you have a big problem with it. And it's one of the most effective like sustained campaigns I've seen over the course of a day on social media from the White House. And as long as I can remember, they had something like 150,000 retweets on the main one. Like, people really liked seeing the 1-2 punch of a Democratic president literally doing something that was popular and that they campaigned on. They did it, and then they defended it vigorously on social media. And that is what people have been waiting to see for a long time, Brett. And so it was great to see it here.
70% of Americans support some student loan forgiveness. And this is the lowest number that people have thrown out there. This is a policy that 70% of Americans support. And I love that the Republicans are trying so hard to be against it. And the reason is because Biden did it. That's it. The Republicans have said very clearly they don't want to do pretty much anything, and that's their main position. They want to do all the stuff that happens behind the scenes. Nothing happens more behind the scenes than PPP loans, of which something like $600 billion has already been forgiven. The average amount, the max number you can get in forgiveness for your loans in the Biden's plan is $20,000, and that's if you have a Pell grant. It's probably it's 10 grand is the normal one.
10K there is a grants even.
Yeah. Oh, and the average amount that was forgiven by the PPP loan was much higher than that in their overall amount. The average dollar amount forgiven for a PPP loan was $72,500. And these guys, and then let's talk about what they're angry about. They're angry that you're trying to get educated. They're angry that you did the stuff that Republicans complain the left and the millennials never ever do. Oh, why aren't you getting off your ass and trying to better yourself? That's what college ostensibly is. And not only that, that's what our boomer parents told us to do. And we did the thing that the conservative generation guided us to do. They're just mad about what we learned there. And that plays out everywhere else in their politics, all the way down to elementary school students.
Yeah. Yeah, look, they have to do what they're doing. They have to make this seem as if it's unfair, as if it's unpopular. And to some extent, it'll work. They will move the numbers on for a few points somehow. I mean, they made the ACA unpopular for people who finally got health insurance. Some of them still weren't happy to even have it because they were told that it was socialism or whatever. So it'll move the numbers a few points. But like, if you're a young conservative and you just got $10,000, your student loan debt canceled, like, you can't be that enraged by it. And that's a limiting factor, I think, on the Republicans' abilities here. Super brief, because we got other stuff we got to get to, but what do you want to say?
Just people convincing you that the Obamacare is socialism. The fire department's more socialist than Obamacare. There's no private fire system that we're paying into. It's a public fire system. The military and the police department are way more socialist than the Romney Care, Obamacare, ACA.
Yeah, 100%. By the way, I just want to mention one last one. If we can go to graphic four, Congressman Matt Gaetz, $482,000 in PPP loans forgiven. And by the way, none of this is intended to shame any of the ones who actually need it, because by the way, PPP had tons of fraud, and it's possible some of that is included in this. But it's to point out that it makes sense for the government to do things like this when there's a major crisis. COVID was a major crisis. These loans were needed in most cases to keep people in work, like keep people employed. The student loan debt crisis was and is still a major crisis. Even after this cancellation, it is a major crisis where more needs to be done. So they are not saying, like Nate Silver is trying to pretend that, like, well, the Democrats don't realize they're actively saying that PPP was bad, but now it's like this, so that's bad. That's not what they're saying at all. They're saying the government can, should, must act when it's demanded. And in both of these cases, it was. That's what they're saying. By the way, in the response, so they pointed out Marjorie Greene first. She did this big tweet where there was transphobia and stuff, but it ends with, "Go to hell, Joe." Okay. I mean,
it's so. It's so stupid too, because student loan, essentially, this whole thing can be understood as a voucher program now. They advocate for vouchers, but you just got a $10,000 secondary education, or you know, a college level education voucher. And that's what they want. And you get in the voucher system, you go to the college that you, the school that you want. This is people going to the college that they wanted.
Exactly.
Rather than paying into a tax system that funds that. This is essentially 100%. Ridiculous.
Exactly. Okay, with that said, we want to talk a little bit about Biden's recent speech. He went out there, he's starting to do campaigning for better or worse. And so why don't we jump into this video?
Folks, we're just 76 days away from the midterm election. 76 days. And to state the obvious, there's a lot at stake. So I want to be crystal clear about what's on the ballot this year. Your right to choose is on the ballot this year. The Social Security you paid for from the time you had a job is on the ballot. The safety of your kids from gun violence is on the ballot. And it's not hyperbole, the very survival of our planet is on the ballot.
Okay, so all of that is good, all of that is true. Now, of course, that's not, you know, it's not the most vigorous thing ever. It's not Bernie Sanders or whatever, but I want to see Joe Biden out there fighting. We've been asking for this for a year and a half, and he's centering values that we care about. And so that's good. And at the same time that he's talking about the things that, you know, need to be defended, he's also calling out Republicans. Take a look at this compilation.
We also included a provision that would have allowed anyone with diabetes, including those kids and their families, that should get charged somewhere between $600 and $1,000 a month. How would you feel like being a parent, looking at your kid and knowing you didn't have the insurance and knowing if they did not get that insulin, they may die? There's thousands of people in America going through that. And these Republicans ripped that out of the bill, but we're coming back. If the MAGA Republicans win control of the Congress, it won't matter where you live. Women won't have the right to choose anywhere, anywhere. Let me tell you something. If they take it back and they try and pass it, I will veto it. It's all there in black and white. He wants to require Congress to vote on the future of Social Security every 5 years. So every 5 years, Congress can vote to change, cut, reduce, or entirely eliminate Social Security. How's that make you feel? Do you want to put your Social Security in the hands of Ted Cruz and Marjorie Taylor Greene?
So he's naming names. I would love, you know, occasionally from the name like, you know, Joe Manchin and all that. But he's right. Those things are on the line. Now, will he be a vigorous fighter after the midterms? Stay tuned, hopefully. But at the very least, he definitely does seem to have woken up. That's the most fired up I've seen him in some time, Brett.
Yeah, I like it. I like that he's out there fighting and saying that the things he did that were good are good. And I like clearly signposting that kind of stuff about what's on the ballot. And I like that the things that they're pointing out are true. They and undeniably true, because if you look at what happened, if you look at the abortion issue in Kansas, that was on the ballot, and Kansas, which could not be redder, said no, that's ridiculous. And so the job of politics in a two-party system is to crystallize the difference between your party and the other party, and make sure that people understand that whatever might end up in your large umbrella, that you really rally against the parts of your platform that are wildly popular. Not just that, but say this is specifically what we're fighting for.
Yeah.
And then define your opponent clearly. That's the part that I think can use a little work, where they say, listen, they, you know, say clearly, the Republicans are for you being in more debt. The Republicans are for you not having the right to choose. They are for being in charge of your body. They need to do a better job of that. But I like that things are happening, because I believe that the Republicans are the worst thing right now for America. And you need to say what you're for and what they're for, and draw a difference between the two.
Exactly. No, 100%. Dark Brandon, keep it up. Whatever you've been drinking recently, have another cup of it every morning. That'd be great. Keep it up. Okay, with that said, we do have to take our first break. When we come back, we've got some dramatic cult related news. We've got some books being banned, so don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this. Okay, today has been a crazy news day. We actually have yet more breaking news. And while there was good breaking news, or at least interesting breaking news earlier, this is sadder breaking news, which is that unfortunately, after about 2 years of service to the Dragon Squad and TDR, we are losing producer Sophie. Today is her last day. And I don't know what it's like on like CNN when they lose a producer, but here it's our team is very small. It's very small and very tight, and we get to know each other very well, and we really rely on each other. And Sophie's been amazing. She's been around since almost the beginning of the pandemic. I mean, has done everything basically on the show, and it was a huge part of her institutional memory, and it's just a great part of the team. And you know, in the same way that like people send in messages saying that like we help to keep them sane, our team helps keep the rest of the team sane. And so just like, you know, joking around with Sophie on the meetings every morning and everything, it's very sad to lose that, to lose her contributions and to lose Sophie. I'm sure she's going on to great things. And she's got a great dog going along with her in Margot, an absolutely adorable corgi, but Sophie will very much be missed.
Not by me. Who needs you? Not by him.
Not by him.
Yeah. Sophie jokes at other people's expense very successfully. Because you don't get mad. You just go like, that was a pretty sick burn, dude. Exactly. And Sophie, I'm going to miss you. Yeah. Sophie, who my brother was like at an event in Long Beach, like a political event. And Sophie was just like volunteering at it. Just to give you an idea for... And Sophie's been with the organization for quite some time.
Previous even to the pandemic, but for TDR, she's been here for most of the pandemic. Yeah,
and that's all John cares about. But I care about the whole person and their whole journey. And as soon as she's out that door, John's never going to think about her again. But I have, and this goes for you too, Marisa, I tattoo the face of everyone who works at TYT on my back. You never see it because of the shots we do, but on my back. Marisa's
sometimes
face,
interviewees
face interviewees even, just when I hired, hope when like, I think we have something coming down the pike.
Yeah.
Anyway. But yeah, no.
Yeah. Great. Potato says you'll be missed, Sophie. People are speculating about why, saying it's my fault for constantly skipping the D block. RC Tycoon says she's going to work for Emma. Ouch. Anyway. So it's, and Groove Dragon says it's Sophie's choice. I'm sure she gets that a lot. But anyway, Sophie, you shall be missed.
The second Sophie to leave the damage report.
She is the second Sophie actually to leave the damage report. We pretty much only hire people with like three different names here. We're on the lookout for another Angel perhaps, but anyway, with that said, thank you, Sophie. And we will return to our news. It's going to be a very weird story to transition to after. It's also, as Brooke points out, the second corgi owning Sophie to leave the show.
I feel like Margot's not all corgi, by the way.
No, I don't think she is all corgi, but whatever has been added is also adorable. Okay, with that, let's do some news. You might recall that during Amy Coney Barrett's Supreme Court nomination hearing, some details came up about an organization that she was involved in, which has been likened by many as a cult. Some say that's totally unfair. Well, some newly leaked footage shows that, I don't know, maybe there's something to it. This is the People of Praise. It's a secretive Christian faith group that counts Amy Coney Barrett as a member, up into including now. They apparently consider women's obedience and subservience to men as one of its key early teachings, which is just so much fun. This is according to leaked remarks as well as writings of the wife of the group's founder, who was nice enough of the group's founder to allow her to write. That was nice of him. How progressive. Anyway, here's a bit of the video from the People of Praise.
And suddenly we were having teachings on headship and the roles of men and women and all sorts of things we hadn't counted on at all. And some of the women who are still in my women's group, as a matter of fact, would wear sunglasses all the time because they were always crying. Okay. And would have to hold on to their chairs every time somebody started teaching because what are we going to hear this time? But it all worked out just fine.
So what would you get if you had some sort of mad scientist lab and you combined Betty White with The Handmaid's Tale and cringy laughter? Something like that, actually. She was describing an absolutely horrifying ordeal. Women who were so beaten down by the experience they were undergoing, so terrified about what the future might bring, that they could not stop crying. And they would literally grip the furniture because they had no idea what insane thing a male religious zealot was gonna bark at them, that was gonna strip away their rights, consign them to humiliation, degradation, and they knew they would have to accept that. Whatever this insane man yelled at them would be their new nightmarish reality. And that woman looks back on that and says, it all worked out. And all the men in the room laughed and laughed. It's great for them, great news for them that the women were put in a position where they were forced to deal with this.
Do you know how weird you have to be considered a weird religion? Like, this is way weirder than normal Christianity, where a man chants a dead language and then makes you drink another, like a dead man's blood and eat his body so that you, after you die, cannot be dead anymore. Amen. Yeah,
that's the normal one.
Like, that's the baseline. And in Judaism, it's, what's that?
You're talking about how this one's comparatively weirder. I have some details. I want to buttress what you're saying. So there's the overall philosophical constant of complete obedience of women to their husbands. I mean, I think that's the goal for many religions, but this one was founded on it. So also, let's see. Former member, these are former members in the group talking about their experience. All decisions about finances and dating relationships were made by the men. They were encouraged to speak in tongues and perform exorcisms. So I think we can all agree that it is one thing to be in the throes of religious lunacy and to begin yourself speaking in tongues. I think that's weird. I can't imagine it. But to tell another person, hey, we've had some complaints. You're not speaking in a made up language enough, and we would really love it if you would pretend to speak a language that doesn't exist. It would just really look good for the group if you would start babbling in front of everyone. That's so much weirder than just doing it yourself.
For me, a lot of this argument falls apart when you realize that she is like a Supreme Court justice. So obviously this church doesn't preclude you from getting like big time jobs. I think it's,
well, they've allowed her to have a job that allows her to pursue their philosophy as judicial dictate.
It's more the aspirations of religion, not to like the betterment of the self in one's personal relationship with their Lord, but rather the changing of societies in ways that actually go against the founding principles they say that they hold so dear, but rather to further not American ideology, but this weird theocratic absolutism onto all of us in a way that if you actually read the text of the Bible, Jesus wasn't too keen on. It's always weird to me when I finish a sentence and I just take John's breath away.
Yeah, no, I just like,
you all right there, buddy?
Supreme Court. She's on the Supreme Court. Like, She had never argued a case before. She wasn't experienced enough. There's no justification for it. She was chosen because she's a young wackadoo. She's crazy and young, so they can have her be on there for a very long time being crazy. And lying during her nomination hearing, because she knew it didn't matter if she lied. She could lie as much as she wants about what she's gonna do, or she's gonna exercise independent judgment or whatever. Get the hell out of here. She's gonna do whatever religious dogma dictates through her mind, her own misinterpretation of Christianity. That's what she's gonna do. She knew it. She was chosen because everyone else knew it, but she got to lie about it and cannot be taken off the court effectively.
Right. She bore false witness against an entire country when she said that Roe was the settled law of the land. She lied. Yeah. She lied. Now, in her mind, she's lying for the betterment of everybody. And that's just me pointing out a hypocrisy. But what's worth pointing out is that getting people like her, enough people like her, on the Supreme Court took 30 years or 50 years and a lot of money. And what's scariest is, I don't know if you guys covered this. I'm sorry, I don't know, but you may have yesterday. But the same people behind the initiative to get people like her on the court just received $1.6 billion in dark money assets and donations to do stuff like this again. And to show you how extreme she is, you don't need to only look at the fact that they overturned Roe. You need to understand that Roe was 7-2. And five of the justices that supported the original Roe decision were appointed by Republicans. And since then, the Federalist Society has put way more than $1.6 billion and their cohort have put way more money and resources into that to turn the Supreme Court certifiably crazy by virtue of the evidence that I just gave you. They made Rehnquist, the only Republican to vote against Roe, the chief justice of the Supreme Court. They took the wacko and put him in charge. That's how, and this amid a backdrop of them saying that we don't want the Supreme Court to be politicized.
Okay, with that said, sort of related topic that we need to transition to, so let's jump to this. I will never stop finding it endlessly funny that Dave Rubin decided to publish a desperately try-hard book called Don't Burn This Book, like a year and a half before everyone on his side of the aisle, everyone and his political ideology began a full court press to ban as many books as possible across the country, while literally arguing on OAN about how it's good to burn books and using Nazi book burnings as a defense of banning books. And that campaign continues in multiple parts of the country, coming in multiple forms, all of them unacceptable and in some cases quite ridiculous. So let's start with a Texas middle school. It's named after a black author. That school is now saying his biography isn't appropriate because some sections aren't acceptable. And so they're saying we can't let them read the biography of the guy the school they're in is named after. We don't know exactly what in the biography is supposed to be unacceptable. It has been speculated that in one of the early chapters, he talks about the fact that one of his friends was lynched. And that might be the thing that they find unacceptable, because acknowledging and talking about the reality of lynching, as well as the fact that this guy was, I believe, the great grandson of a slave, acknowledging that we are not that far off of slavery. These are things that are unacceptable to many of the people engaged in mass book bannings. And so you have that. You have an Oklahoma high school English teacher placed on administrative leave earlier this week because she told students how they could access banned books outside of the school. There's a service that they could potentially use through the New York Library that will allow them access to books. You're not allowed to do that either. So it's not just that you can't give them the books or read them the books. You can't let them know how they might theoretically find the book somewhere else. And so, look, I don't think that we have time to go through all of the details, but we now have this situation where this teacher is talking about the fact that many school children are going to school and finding that the bookshelves have been stripped bare or covered because the teachers can't yet attest to every page of every book, and they have to. They are now required in some areas to personally vouch for every single book in whatever assortment of books they have available because we don't know what might slip through. What might be totally unacceptable, books that have been on those shelves for years or decades now, so dangerous that we can't chance a student might accidentally read a stray word or find out about the experience of a person who has a life kind of different than their own in some way. And so that teacher got forced out. They tried to pretend that she had like willingly resigned, and we're still going through the revolutions that since then, but we'll have more of these details, Brett, but look, we've been tracking this now for months. It's 400 books here, list of 1,000 there. This is their hobby now, is trying to find more books to throw into the heap.
This combined with the elitist Republican backlash to higher education proves that they don't want you to know anything. They don't want you to know anything. And I definitely want to say, if you want a kid to go to the library, tell them that you're banning something in it, because otherwise they're not gonna go. And then the things that these guys who call us snowflakes are triggered by, they are so snowflakey. They're triggered by the possibility that some truth might be hidden in these books, that they're gonna ban reading essentially. And in some cases, they've banned books that aren't even in the library. That seems like a story you're going to get to in a second. But like these folks who are, as John points out, against censorship, they say, for freedom, they say, and for and against carefully curating how they're going to indoctrinate kids, are going through page by page and removing stuff from an area, not where they're forcing you to read anything, but simply a place where books sit on shelves. They are afraid you might exercise your freedom and go find knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know, we've been talking about the need for like a revolution and people to be more rebellious and everything. Like, I did not expect that simply going to the library and reading a book would be an act of rebellion, but they're making it that. And it's not just the banning the books, that would be bad enough, but the overall demonizing of higher education, I mean, you're seeing that constantly in the attacks against the student debt cancellation, let alone all of the pundits whose entire career now, Charlie Kirk and Ben Shapiro, they're saying to defund universities, don't go to college, as well as the demonizing of teachers themselves, trying to pretend that they're all predatory pedophiles. These people absolutely despise the idea of an educated citizenry.
And I do want to say, yes, like the one through line of much conservative thought is two sides. Like, they definitely want to undo whatever we believe, whatever people like me believe in, right? But they also they pretend that that government run stuff is bad because the idea of government run stuff is bad. So public schools, public education, the post office, the fire department, everything, that they want to privatize it because government is bad. That's false. They want to privatize it because they want to make money off of it. They see in this world where they've gotten so crazy to the right in terms of what they've convinced their people to vote for and who to put in office, that all they're doing is like a cancer eating away at real institutions that might have the chance to do good, only so that these scum suckers can make money off of it. That's why they want to privatize schools and get rid of Disney even. Like, they just want to make money off of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, but I do think though, like if they could flip a switch and turn all of the public schools into private schools, that would not by itself satisfy them. They'd love to have the money, but they also do not want certain types of education, even aside from the profit motive.
I think that framework allows them to make the changes that they also want.
Sure, definitely. You had referenced, we'll just briefly mention, there's Bonner's Ferry, Idaho. Public library there getting inundated with complaints about a number of different books, more than 400 young adult books with LGBTQ characters, scenes describing sexual activity, or invoking the occult, which by the way isn't real. Here's the issue, none of those books are in the library. And the people don't care. Good. They don't care that the books aren't there and you can't get them. You literally can't read them, you can't open them, they're not there, you can't look at the cover. You can't even judge the book by the cover because the cover isn't there, but that isn't good enough. They're preemptively attacking the idea that somewhere else there might be books. These people have lost their absolute, their, I don't want to swear, they've lost their minds, basically. This is the Karenization of America, but dispatched at librarians, who I think we can all agree have had it too easy for too long, and something needs to be done to take them down a peg or two. Anyway, with that, oh God, really fast, can we go to this last graphic, number 13? No commentary. A woman in Katy, Texas called the cops on a book. There was a book and she called the cops because she found it to be unacceptable. She wanted her grievance against the book to apply to the entire school district. Anyway, with that said, we're going to take our second break of the hour. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we do have a specific Karen and it was caught pretty fast, actually. It's nice to see justice in this area. We'll get to that after this. Okay, really fast. We're down to 6 minutes. I knew we weren't gonna have time.
Go.
6 minutes isn't enough. Okay, let's jump into it.
Did even talk to you? Why did you walk up to us to talk to you? We were running around with you.
F-ing Indians, that's why. Oh, the f-ing Indians. They come to America because they want a better life. Yes. But they're obviously not living the great life in India.
Who's the one who's racist?
Why do you make comments like that?
You just said you're Mexican. How does that make
sense? I'm a Mexican American. I was born here.
What makes you think that we are not Americans?
Were you born here?
What makes you think that we are not?
Because of the way you speak. Because I'm a Mexican American,
but
and I speak
to you.
I'm Mexican, and I paid my way here.
What? Why would you come and talk to us and make a racist on camera?
I'm not gonna talk to you.
Oh my God, guys, record. She's hitting me.
Oh my God.
She's hitting me.
Turn that phone off, or I swear to God. That woman is, according to her, an American citizen, and America is very, very lucky to have her and people like her. That was a absolutely horrible attack, a literal physical attack against a group of Indian American women happening apparently in Dallas. And look, we've seen this sort of thing before. All of the elements are there. The focus on where someone was born, the attacking the way someone speaks, the feeling the need to involve yourself in the life of other people who are just trying to go about their life. Those women had apparently been out, they went to a restaurant, and then they were accosted by this violently insane person who, thankfully, and this is the good news, and we don't often get to say this, was caught almost immediately. And so she is now facing charges. You can see this picture right here, Esmeralda Upton facing charges. This confrontation happened just Wednesday night outside the 60 Vines restaurant in suburban Dallas. On Thursday, Plano cops identified her and announced her arrest in the afternoon. She's facing one charge of assault, bodily injury, as well as one charge of terroristic threats. She's being held on a $10,000 bond, and there might be other charges because the cops say they are looking into this as a hate crime, which seems very reasonable. I don't know what else you could classify it as. Brett, what do you think?
In some of these Karen videos, there's ambiguity as to who's at fault. And that's when I understand the Karen pulling out the camera. But after you're just hurling racist epithets at people, for you to then take out your camera and film it, like, what do you think you're capturing? Because it isn't going to exonerate you.
No, not at all. No, it's good. It's good to see justice. No one should experience anything like this. These women must have been terrified. It's Dallas. That woman could have pulled a revolver out of her purse and started shooting. You don't know. It'd just be so terrified.
You just hate their accents. That's all it is.
Like, that's all it is.
And I'm not an expert on people who come from South Asia, but I did just watch Never Have I Ever this last season. Hammer watched it, went all the way through. Indian people are delightful. You should get to know them. And there's an easy access way to get a little bit of cultural knowledge into your daily life. And it's on Netflix.
Thank you. Check it out, I guess.
It's so dumb. It is so hilarious. Like, does this woman hate her mom? Does she talk to that way about her mom? Like her family who came to America? You realize for you to be born here as a Mexican American, someone in your family was not born here and was in this exact same position, you doink.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's look, this is what so many awful Americans are like. It's like, oh yeah, no, I get that it's like sort of the same thing, but I'm an American. I get to be an American. You don't get to be an American. And even the way she described it in real time was, yeah, you know those Indian Americans, they come here for a better life.
You sound
like the villain in your telling of the story. You sound like the villain. They sound like good people.
It's also like, and you don't speak English. It's like, I hate to tell you about the colonial history of India really quick. Like, yeah, there's a lot of English spoke there. They speak it there in their own country for reasons that I think you should be madder at.
Yeah. Yeah. Can we be free of this? Like, this just happened this week. This is the 1,000th incident like this that has been taped, at least. Right now, there are people like little sleeper cells of Karen in cities around the country waiting for their day to do this. We've been lucky that up until this point, they haven't been within earshot of someone just speaking to other people. But if that ever happens, then oh my God, they're going to be unleashed.
And there's a lot of unfair stereotypes about Indian Americans. None of them are that they come to America and leech off society. Like, there's a lot of uphill battles that Indian Americans have to fight against their perception in this country. None of them are that they're lazy.
Yeah, she doesn't even understand her own racism. Anyway, with that said, that is going to unfortunately be all the time we have for this first hour of the Damage Report. But thank you everyone on the linear platforms or on the podcast for watching and listening. If you're on the podcast, by the way, now would be a great time to rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts. It's apparently super important for discoverability. So to help us expand our community and get the progressive message out, that would be a great way to do that. Maybe on Monday we can read some of the most recent reviews on Apple Podcasts. So get in there and might get right on the show. For now, though, we do have the aftermath coming up on the other side. We've got garbage people to throw away, including your community garbage person of the week. So don't go anywhere. Brett and I will be back in just a few.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.